Good morning, everyone. We can make our way in, please.
If it acts at the point, I'm just going to ask.
Why don't we pray? Father, we thank you for that this is the day that the Lord has made, and that we are to rejoice and be glad. And Father, for some of us, it's been a real tough week. For some of us, it's been a real joyful and exciting week. But for Father, whatever we are, from one extreme to the other, Father, we want to let all our sorrow, all our pain, and we want to bring it before you. And we ask, Father, that you would be exalted and lifted up in this place. Holy Spirit, come. Come here today. Meet with us as we worship you, as we come to hear from you, as your servant brings your word, Lord, that it would transform our minds and our hearts, restore our soul, and giving us a clear vision that you are coming soon and that we are to be about the Father's work. So anoint this service, anoint our lips, our thoughts, whatever burdens we may have, Father, we have an opportunity to lay it at your feet. And so, Jesus, please come help us. We desperately need you. Holy Spirit, do your work as you promised. You are our comforter, our help, and ever-present help in those times of need. And so bless your holy name. And all God's children said,
Amen. Amen.
Let's worship.
Oh,
know, why don't we all sit down? Just something the Lord has led in my heart for worship. I know we're going through tough times. And some of us here today may need to come up and be prayed for. You may want to bring someone with you to pray with you or just come alone. This is God's throne, His place. Communicate your heart, your struggle, whatever you're going through. Gary will be here, and Susie, and maybe Carl, and Gloria. If you want to come along and pray with them, they're here to be available for you. It's a quiet time of worship. It's some old songs, but just meet with Jesus this morning. Whatever it is, lay it at the altar. It's your time to express to Him what's going on. You may want to come up here and praise Him, or stay right there, or be on your knees. Whatever it is, this is God's time for you personally. So why don't we enter in to His presence? Amen. Amen. Yeah.
exalt thee.
Yeah.
empower you. Prepare our hearts, Lord, that you have been prepared as we worship you. You have spoken, Father, through the times of worship. You have heard the cry of our heart. Please, Jesus, fall upon this place. Rushing wind, blow through these temples. Father, please, let us see Jesus and none but him. And all God's children said,
Amen.
Well, good morning, everybody.
Morning.
There's still some room up here. There's a couple more seats. Do you want to come in? I see some folks standing. There's also the floor.
Hi, is this on?
Oh, hello. Why don't we take a minute and pray? For those of you who don't know or didn't get that text at 3 a.m. about the tornadoes.
I got it.
You know, I'm glad it woke me up because it didn't help me to pray. Otherwise, I probably would have just slept through the whole thing. But instead, boy, I was praying for the families. I was praying for the church body. I was praying for the county, you know, just praying for the kids, Lord, just protection. So let's just take a minute and let's pray for those people that were affected by those tornadoes. I actually heard that they touched down. I'm not sure if that's true. They touched down. Two or three people died in Sarasota. Is that correct? Wow, I'm 64?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, let's take a minute and let's pray for them. And I don't know anything about that or the family, so let's just pray for them. Father, we want to lift up those people who were killed in that tornado. Wow, Lord, we just... certainly makes us stop and think, Lord. I don't even think tornadoes here, Lord. And wow. And so, Lord, we just ask for you to be with them right now, those families, Lord God, who have lost loved ones, Lord God. The people around them, Lord, the neighbors, Lord God. And, Father, I just ask that you would comfort those families in a way that only you can, Lord God. I pray that you would just bring people around them, Lord, who would be able to support them, Lord, whether that be emotionally, Lord, or financially, Lord, or spiritually, Lord, that you would bring the right people to them, Lord God, to minister you to them, Father. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that you would overflow that comfort from your people, Lord, onto them, Lord God. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, for just your protection, Lord. I thank you for everyone here in this body, Lord. I thank you for your protection, Lord God. Lord, I pray that you would minister to those people who are confused or angry or whatever, Lord God, that you would just meet them right where they're at, Lord God. Right where they're at, Lord God. And you would draw them to yourself, Lord God, during these times, Father. Lord, I just pray right now, even as we get into your word, Lord, as the announcements and into your word, Lord God. Lord, I admit I didn't sleep well. It was a rough week, Lord. So I'm just asking for your Holy Spirit's empowerment, direction, organized thoughts, Lord. I pray that you would, I don't know if there's anyone else here like me, just had a rough weekend, a rough week, Lord God, that you would just organize our thoughts, that they would be right fixed on you, Jesus. We'd be seeking you, your heart, your word, your spirit, Lord God. We thank you for this place. We thank you for this body. We thank you for our Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Holy Spirit who empowers us to live a godly life, Lord God. We thank you for your precious word. We ask that it would go forth, Lord, in power to change our hearts and our lives and our directions. In the mighty, awesome, powerful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Oh, thanks, Nate. Okay, a couple things I want to do as we're getting started. A couple things we do as we're getting started. Man, I just want to say thank you. You know, as I'm seeing, you know, we first got into this little church. You know, we had a little wall up there with a little Pentecostal windows and all, the mine windows. And, you know, we just started off a little home church. I know we've been here a couple of years now, and just it's neat to see what God is doing and what God continues to bring in new people. And we're so thankful that you're here. We're so thankful. I just thought, at the time, I thought, wow, we'll never outgrow this. And then I thought, well, then everybody wanted to take down the walls. Actually, and another confession of mine, if, for those of you who don't know, we didn't even put up a sign for the first year. That was my fault. But the leaders wanted to take down the walls. Like, no, let's just wait and see. I don't think we'll ever need to. And so thank you for everybody taking down the wall. And then the portable came out here. And then the kids came out here. And now we're building that little patio area out there, little fellowship area. And just to see all the little ministries and Bible studies. We're just like, you know, a little discipleship center. And we just want to encourage and equip the saints. But we're so thankful for your faithfulness in so many areas. It hasn't been easy for you guys to sacrifice and, you know, to give like you have of your time and efforts and service. And what a blessing. What a huge blessing that is. And so thank you for just all that you do and even all that maybe even goes unnoticed that you do for the Lord. So thank you for all that.
You're welcome.
No, thanks. Always say thank you. You're welcome. Okay. For those who also don't know, Pastor Saeed is free from jail. Praise God. He's a Christian pastor being held in Iran. This was the headlines for Fox News yesterday morning. And so he is free. And so, actually, you know what? I'm going to say something else. Actually, he was free long before this.
Oh, yeah.
Because if the Son has set you free, you are free indeed. Amen? That brings freedom. However, he's been freed from the Iranian jail cell. And so, praise God. I just pray God will just heal him up and restore him and use him in a mighty way. So that is just awesome stuff. So praise God. Pray for him and his family and the rest of the folks that got released. Also, just for those of you guys who weren't here last week, we've got Share Jesus Without Fear Thursdays here at Home Fellowship Church, 6:30 to 8:30. And I just wanted to praise God for that, too. We've got like 20 or 22 people, including up to 4 or 5 teams. And it's just really great to hear everybody's responses from that. And so for a little church like that to have like 20, 22 people taking a class and the teens wanting to come and wanting to learn and wanting to learn how to share their faith and being excited by it, it's wonderful. So one of the teens, it was one of my sons, I won't tell you which one, said, you know, loves going to youth. That's one of the youth group on Wednesday nights. And he confessed to me, he said, Dad, I really love this Share Jesus About Fear Bible study. I said, oh, really? He's like, yeah, I actually like it better than youth. So, of course, I immediately rebuked him. Just kidding. Okay. Also, we have a youth camping trip coming up. That's this weekend.
Yes.
Yes. Now, this is our first time. Kel Hezekiah's excited. Anyway, this is our first time doing anything like this with the youth. And so, if you guys would be in prayer, there's a lot of setup. You know, you got camps, you got food, you got activities, you got the word being shared. There's so much going on. It's overwhelming. We're not going to do everything right the first time. We're doing our best. And we're praying over it. But just pray also for Natalie and Anthony who've given their time to organize this whole thing. So you know that they're being pummeled by the enemy.
Yes.
Can handle it with the Lord.
Where are they going camping?
They're going camping to at Rye Preserve up in Nantucket. And so anyway, that's Friday. Is there anything you want to say? Do you want a microphone or
No, this is Friday night. We're going to try to shoot out there. You know, meet at 5 o'clock to after they get home and get some help and get the tents put up before it gets dark. We'll be there throughout Saturday night. Sunday we'll go in and we'll have a
little church service.
Service, worship, everything Sunday morning. So okay. Pray for good weather. And
so you're starting another church, apparently. Well, maybe you should pray more. No, I'm just kidding. Actually, it's awesome. I'm glad you're going to be out there. I'm glad you're doing that church service. It's going to be great. So, okay, praise the Lord for that, and just continue to keep them in prayer, if you would. It's going to be really a cool time. Also, for those of you guys who weren't here last week, the Barnabas Prison Ministry over Christmas from this little church, 453 cards were donated in December from us going to the prisoners. That's so wonderful. Thank you for your generosity. Ask Sermons Online, you guys can get that. If you didn't hear last week's teaching, though, it was you really need to hear it. I don't know if that's up there yet, but it will be shortly. If it's not. It is? George, you're amazing. George and Neely, incredible. Prayer meetings here at 9 o'clock if you'd like to come and pray for the body. Men's Bible study this week. And dinner.
Yeah, we're gonna feed on pulled pork and God's word, learning how important it is to know where you stand with God.
Yeah,
that's great. Okay, it's a character study in the life of David, going through 1 Samuel. It's really good. And so if you're one of the guys, you're kind of wondering, should I, shouldn't I? You know, and you're having that little struggle with your flesh, sure be nice to sit home. You can also just think carnally, just for a second, think barbecue pulled pork. So just for a second. And then we could hear God pour into his word and be built up and be glad it came. And that's 6 p.m. Here at the church on Tuesday. Okay? All right, what else do we have? That's the women's Bible study. Whosoever youth group on Wednesday. Yes. Do we have prayer and praise, or do we have Kingdom Living? Sue Berger's house?
Yes.
Okay, Kingdom Living at Sue Berger's house this Friday at 7 p.m. if you would like to join that Friday for them. Okay? I'm trying to think if there's anything else. Oh, yes! Okay, guys, you ready for this little church? Now, first of all, I probably shouldn't have shown you already. Doggone it. Okay, well, anyway, you see all these stars on the trees. My goal was to have like 50 of these stars, and they each represent either a Bible or an action pack. The action pack's a little, putting the gospel in there, but also blankets, clothes going to Syria and refugees, and then also Bibles are going to North Korea, the underground church, and also to China, and just to be honest, there's so many stars on a tree. We had kids bring them in here through the month of December. It goes all the way around. And honestly, there's about another 50 to 70 that the poor family was making stars. I said there'd be about 50 of them through December. They just got tired of making stars. That's a lot of stars. So there's about 70 that's not even on there. So what we did, you guys, just so you know, we had 2,233 Bibles and 10 action packs. Praise the Lord. Yes. That's my good God. In December, well, we'll actually be going on January, but you get the idea. So that is an amazing number. So thank you so much for putting the word of God out to other people and sharing the gospel, especially in the underground church. That is fantastic. Praise God for that. Okay, so right now we are in the book of Jude. So open your Bibles to Jude. Hey, Jude. Oh, yes. Joe, Hezekiah, would you grab some Bibles, please?
Roger, roger.
If you need a Bible, raise your hand. If you're at this church at any time at all, and you're going to stay here, you will need a Bible. If you don't have a Bible, we'll get you a Bible in Jesus' name. So just let us know. We are in the book of Jude, contending for the faith. We just got done with going through the book of Titus. We've been 3 weeks studying the book of Jude. It's a whoppingly big book.
Yeah, a whole page.
It's a whole page long, a whole 25 verses. We've covered 4 verses in 3 weeks. So anyway, if I could get somebody who doesn't mind reading for a few minutes. Okay, just read verse 1 to 4 nice and slowly, and then I'll turn from there. Appreciate it.
Hurry fast before you
know. Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are called, beloved in God the Father, and kept for Jesus Christ, may mercy and peace and love be multiplied to you. Beloved, while I was making every effort to write to you about our common salvation, I felt the necessity to write to you, appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all handed down to the saints. For certain persons have crept in unnoticed, those who were long beforehand marked out for this condemnation, ungodly persons who turn the grace of our God into bad stuff. And deny our only master and Lord, Jesus Christ.
Yes, that just means license for immorality, and basically what it's saying there. And so, they're godless men. That word in Greek is asabas, and that just means that they are destitute of reverence and awe towards God. And we went over that last week. Basically, they have no fear of the Lord. And if you look at our culture today, that's exactly what we have. We have an entire culture who does not fear the Lord. That is sad, and it scares me for their sake. Listen to this. This is just something in Psalm 36. I felt like the Lord just gave me this. as to why. And I was like, why, Lord? Why? Is it, why do they have the fear of the Lord? And Psalm 36, if you go there, I'll read it to you. Psalm 36, starting in verse 1, it says, an oracle is within my heart concerning the sinfulness of the wicked, or the sin that proceeds from the wicked. There is no fear of God before their eyes, before his eyes. Now remember, fear of God isn't like rah, rah, rah. It's that reverential awe. Again, where Job said, man, I've heard of you, but now I see you. You are the Lord, you know. It's Isaiah being humbled into the dirt when he sees, you know, the Lord high lifted up. The train of his robe filled the temple. It says there's no fear of God before his eyes. And then verse 2 it says, for in his eyes he flatters himself too much to detect or to hate his own sin. Isn't that true? That's why there's no fear of God, because they're thinking everything's okay. They're flattering themselves. They're pretty good. I'm a good person. If you watch any show, you know, I don't even know the more, anyway, I won't even say it. But if you watch any of these shows and the people they bring out, well, you compare yourself to them. Well, I feel pretty good. Yeah. Don't you? So I'm a pretty good person. I'm flattering myself. Too much to detect or even hate my sin. So they don't even know. It says, the words of his mouth are wicked and deceitful. He has ceased to be wise and to do good. Man, I tell you, that scares me a lot. There's also, I wonder if I have it here. Really quickly, if not, and I'll just trust the Lord. One page back in Psalm 34, the Lord reminded me of this as I was hugging one of our folks here at church. You know, you're going to fear something. You're either going to fear God or you're going to fear man. You're going to be so anxious about what other people think of you, and I can understand that. You're going to either fear the Lord and put him first, or you're going to fear what everybody else is going to think of you. And we have to learn to fear the Lord, that reverential, reverent awe and respect of our Father God. Okay? Or that fear of man is going to become, like Proverbs 29:25 says, a snare, a trap to entrap you. But Psalm 34 says this, and I love this in verse 4. It says, I sought the Lord. That's the first thing we need to do. If we're not right, if we're flattering ourselves too much to detect our own sin, whatever, we don't have that reverential respect, we think we can have that license to sin, whatever we want, it's okay. Hey, we're covered by grace, let's do it, whatever, woo-hoo! Then here's what, you know, it says, I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. And listen to this. This is the benefits of fearing the Lord. So this is for you, Christian. For you, God is speaking to you right now. Okay? He says this in verse 7. I believe I've got too many markings in my Bible to see if it's verse 7. But I think it's verse 7. It says, he saved him out of all his troubles. Listen to this. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him. What does that mean to you? What does that say to you? What is God saying to you when we read that? The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him. What? I'm sorry, I'm hearing something. What, Marcia?
He's always there.
Like
covering a protective perimeter. Yes?
Standing guard.
Yes. You know, when you think one angel, if you remember how many of those Assyrians did one angel of the Lord wipe out? Yes, over 100,000. Okay, he encamps around those who fear him. But not only that, not only does he set up that protective perimeter around that person, listen to this, it says, and he delivers them. So it doesn't say you're not going to go through troubles, you're not going to go through rough times, you're not going to hit those things, but it does say that God is going to deliver the person that fears the Lord.
Amen.
Not only that, he says in verse 8, he says, taste and see that the Lord is good. See, when you put the Lord first, purposely, when you put him above everything and everyone else, you'll be able to experience him in ways that you have never done before. When you choose to trust in his heart, when you choose to trust it by faith in his word, when you choose to trust him in that circumstance that you wouldn't normally do, and you do it anyway, well, then you can taste, you can see, you can feel, you can see God working in ways you never thought possible. That's when your faith is built up. That's when your faith is strengthened. When you step out in faith and trust Him no matter what. Taste and see that blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him. And then verse 9 again just says, fear the Lord, you the saints. For those who fear Him lack a lot. No, wait, it doesn't say that. It says, fear the Lord, you who, yes, you His saints. For those who fear the Lord lack nothing or no good thing, whatever. So fear the Lord. And honestly, as this world gets darker and darker, you're going to see that reverential awe of the Lord dwindle down. You're going to see that being, people are going to be creeping into your churches, creeping into your Bible studies, saying, I don't worry about that. Let's just have a license for that immorality. Just go for it. What does it matter? God forgives us, right? I am a friend of God. You know, whatever. Jesus says, you're a friend if you do what I command. He who loves me obeys me, John 14:21 says. Okay? So have that reverence, and this is what God will do. He will deliver you. He will encamp around you. And He'll provide you with every good thing. Okay? Okay. All right, so we're in Jude. It says that we were called, loved, kept. We already went over that. It says in Jude, back in Jude, of His mercy. In verse 1 or 2, it says, verse 2 is mercy, peace, and love. We went over all that. He multiplied to you in abundance. We talked about contending for the faith in verse 3, which is what Jude is about in verse 3. That reminded me, of course, of the Rocky movies. You know, not even enough Christians are getting in the ring, let alone fighting and training. How about you? What are you doing? This is what the enemy says, like in that Rocky IV movie, I wants to break you. And he looks strong, he looks like he's going to crush you, but he's not. We talked about how Scripture says we face conflict from every direction, and battles on the inside and battles on the outside. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the powers, principalities, rulers of this dark world. And against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms, Ephesians 6:12. That word again for contend for the faith is epic agonizomai, and that means epic struggle. That means I'm agonizing, I'm wrestling to my last breath. And that's why in Revelation it continually says, to he who overcomes, to he who perseveres to the end, will be saved. Yes. And then we talked about, hey, are you training? About 1 Corinthians 9:25-27. We need to discipline ourselves. We need to train ourselves. Discipline like we do for our bodies. It says 2 Timothy, just like Rocky punching the meat. You know, that's how we train. All Scripture is God-breathed. It's the meat of the Word of God. It's to be the protein that we're going to live on and be strengthened. It's what our muscles are going to gain from. It's useful. We're teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And, of course, do you need training? Yes. Scripture says, train yourself to be godly. That means, whose responsibility is it, Susie? If it says, train yourself to be godly, isn't it your choice? Just like some of you may have noticed, well, maybe you didn't, probably didn't, hopefully you didn't. Well, I've noticed, let me just put it that way, my wife has noticed, I've gained a lot of weight lately. and not kind of in the best shape that I've been. And now, I can blame my wife. I can blame the poor food choices that are in my fridge. I can blame some of the brothers and sisters here because we meet for lunch, right? I can't help that. I can blame Panera's.
Youth group.
I can blame youth group for all that pizzas and Gloria for the cupcakes. I can do that. Or I can realize, you know why I'm weak and fat and out of shape? Because I haven't gotten up. I haven't spent my time training physically. And it's the same way spiritually. Train yourself to be godly. First Timothy says, of course, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of eternal life to which you were called when you made that good confession in the presence of many witnesses. And of course, we remember that the last thing we talked about was just like D-Day and that last week's illustration, that we don't fight for victory, we fight from victory. Romans 8:37 says, in all these things, we are more than conqueror. Conqueror is somebody who wins. Being more than a conqueror is having it already written for you. You just need to get in the ring. The fight's already won. Rocky knew he was going to win at the end. If you watch Rocky IV or whatever with that Dolph, I'm going to tell you he's going to win. I hate to ruin it for you.
Yeah.
And so are you going to win. Just stay in the ring. Yes?
I want to say that I think sometimes when we're young Christians or even been around for a while, we think that this should get easy and that if we're really mature or we're really faithful, we won't have these battles or have struggles with our faith. And I just want to say, I don't think that's true. I think that as long as you are a Christian, no matter how mature you are or how long you've walked with the Lord, the enemy is always thinking up new ways to try to erode your faith, especially in this day and age, as the Spirit of the Lord and the idea of God in our country is declining.
Disintegrating.
That you know, it's going to be, there's going to be times when it's just going to be hard to hold on to that faith and not to be surprised by that.
Yes.
Or necessarily discouraged.
Right.
But to see that as just inevitable.
Yes.
You know, and know that it's coming and not let us scare us.
Well, I think just like in that D-Day illustration from last week, you know, they knew, Hitler and the Germans knew that they had lost the war after that. But they tried to burn and destroy everything they could for that last year so that more lives were lost in that last year than any other. And that's what the enemy's trying to do. Yeah. He's going to try to burn and destroy as much as he can before the end.
Yeah.
And in fact, I think what Sue's saying is exactly right, isn't it? I mean, if you guys have walked with the Lord for a while, here's what I found. I think it intensifies.
It does.
Because now you can be more effective for the Lord because now you know more. You've experienced the hurt more. You've experienced the pain more. Man, people, I can really sizzle her with this one and get her to quit. Stay out of the ring.
Yeah.
Stay, you know what I'm saying? That's what he tries to do to you. Yes?
Tapping on what Sue was saying, the reason that young believers think that, or people that haven't been in faith a long time, is because they don't see people struggle with the same stuff they struggle with. Because in the beginning, it's true, we're struggling to want the outward sin.
Yeah.
But, you know, at first, they'd be like, oh, I'm so upset that I told that person off. I cursed them out, right? But then 10 years later, the same person will be like, oh, I'm so upset that I wanted to tell that person off.
Yes.
You know? So it's still, the sin is there. It's
yes.
just that God is little by little working on you. But
yes.
it kind of makes me sad that young believers think that the older ones just don't struggle anymore.
Yeah.
They just struggle with different stuff because we're more sensitive to the Lord.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well,
yes, go ahead.
Also, because they don't think that people struggle with the same thing that they struggle with, they also don't want to say anything because they don't want to feel like an outcast or, you know,
exactly.
I mean, puts a whole lot of things in their mind saying, oh, they'll definitely
look
think you're a horrible person
yes.
if you tell them that, you know, stuff
right.
like that.
And if you think that that person that's struggling, a younger Christian struggling with sin, is a horrible, horrible person in this church, stand up. You notice, look around, there's nobody standing. Well, there's one person standing, but that's because there's no seats in the back. Other than that person, just struck down there. But you get the idea. And so we have to keep that in mind. So if you're here and you're young in the Lord, it's okay to struggle. In fact, we're asking you, come, be open about it. Let's share together. Let's pray together. Let's strengthen each other together.
Right? Yeah.
Right? Amen? All right, let's get to it. All right, we are talking about this. I'm not going to say that. Okay, the next verse is in Jude. We're talking about verses 4, 5, 6, 7. Now he's talking about, hey, Christians, you need to beware. We talked last week about Acts 20. I know I'm spending a lot of time on review. Anthony's going to rebuke me for that. But be on guard, Acts 20 said, you know, because the people are going to come in from the inside, from the outside. And so we need to protect. We've got to be careful. It's going to happen. You know, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You'll know them by their fruit, the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. We know that 1 Timothy 4:1 says, now the Holy Spirit clearly tells us, in the last time some will turn away from the true faith, who will follow deceptive spirits and teachings that come from demons.
Yeah.
Whoa!
Yeah.
And it'll be subtle, won't it?
Yeah.
They're not going to have a name tag, false prophet. Teacher,
no.
False prophet. They're not.
That would be easier.
It sure would. You know, 2 Peter says they will cleverly teach destructive heresies. You know, everybody's going to be wealthy. Everybody's going to be whatever. You know, they're going to cleverly teach some of these things. And many will follow their evil teaching and shameful immorality. You know, grace covers it all. Just go ahead and do what you want. And then Charles Spurgeon's quote. I love this one. As we mark here, a time will come when instead of shepherds feeding the sheep the word of God, the church will have clowns entertaining the goats. Isn't that a true statement, though?
Yes.
Yeah,
it goes. Huh? It's talking about that shit. But you know what?
You never get anything good.
That's why, listen, again, I know I keep hammering the same thing, but study the Word of God for yourself, chapter by chapter, book by book, verse by verse, that you'll know, you can recognize when false teachers come in, false things are said, you'll be able to recognize it. If the pastor or leader isn't around, you'll know it for yourself. All right. Oh, darn. Okay, cults and deceivers. Okay, and we talked about four things to recognize cults and deceivers. Okay, you remember that from last week? For those of you who were here last week? Okay, there's a little four things to remember, a nice, easy little way to remember it. Okay, does anybody remember the first one?
Add
what?
Add to God's word.
Yeah, cults and deceivers always add to God's word. That's right, exactly. Good. And in short, we spent a lot of time last week. You can get the CD. What else? After add to God's word, what else did they do?
Subtract.
Subtract what?
God's word, the truth.
Nope. Oh, subtract from Jesus. But they could do that, as the guy said. Yes, they add to God's word, and they subtract from who Jesus is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. Okay, what else do they do? Add, subtract?
Multiply.
Multiply what? Requirements for what?
Salvation.
For salvation, good. And then lastly, what do they do?
Divide the
church. That's right. They divide the church. They divide the body of Christ. That's exactly. That's the embodiment of cults and deceivers right there. Okay, we talked about all these guys. We won't go over again.
Six, six, ten.
All right. License to sin, good old Mia first. We won't go through her again, okay? All right. Okay, George, I'm going to have you do this if you could. I'd like you to show what I'm seeing in the church. I'm seeing that it scares me a little bit. I'm not attacking. I just want to, somebody will sound the wake-up call. I'm seeing a lot of people learn God speak. I'm seeing a lot of people sing songs. I'm seeing a lot of people show up and be involved in activities. But is there that fear of the Lord in your heart? Is there that reverence for God in your heart? Is there that faith in you personally? Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I want you to play close attention. In a second, George is going to play a video. And I really want you to pay attention. I can't remember if I've shown it before or not. If I have, then you've only got 2 minutes to sit through it again. It's not going to kill you. But I just want you to notice the difference between what the words that are being said and the words that are on the screen. Okay? Because there's going to be a difference. Okay, Joe, you hit those words.
Hey, I'm Ryan. I'm a Christian, and this is my story. Growing up, I never missed going to church. When I was 12, I accepted Christ as my Savior. I was even baptized. It undoubtedly was a very important decision. It even affected how I lived in high school. I mean, don't get me wrong, I had fun on the weekend. I had a girlfriend, a couple, but I was a normal high school kid. College was one big blur, but I did make it to church out of obedience. And after school, I married a great girl, and she's been a great influence on me. Life's been good. I have a house, 3 kids. I couldn't ask for more. I mean, sure, I'll worry about my future. I think my marriage, it could be better. And I need to spend more time with my kids, but things will be all right. I have my faith. You may not hear me talk about it a lot, but it's just because it's personal. But don't worry for me. My Jesus is real.
What do you think about that?
Scary. Yeah.
Go ahead. So I heard scary. I heard what?
True. Sad.
What?
Sad.
It's very common.
Yes.
A lot more common than you would like.
What anybody would like.
Terrible. Yes. Miserable.
What'd you say, Ashley?
Terrible and miserable.
Yes.
And like makes you realize how self-deceived people are. Mm-hmm.
He's being two-faced.
World. No, they don't want to admit. I think that psalm that you read earlier, 36, it always speaks about self-deception, too, in the world. We see it. And I think it's getting worse more and more.
Absolutely.
Well, I think misconception, too. I mean, I think a lot of people are deceived not because of themselves, but because they haven't heard the truth of the Word of God. They have gotten false gospel.
Maybe they've gotten false gospel, or maybe they've just chosen to believe a gospel that's convenient for them. You see, when you accept Jesus Christ, right, he's not just the fire insurance, the Savior, he's Lord. Right? And so, that's what he is in your life. He's the Lord of all. He's not Lord of all. So we have to continue to give those pieces over. The reason why I think a lot of people are like that. I don't know. For me, I just think there's not much difference between a lot of these folks today. They want a Jesus that makes them feel good and helps them, but they don't want the sacrifice of having to obey him. You know what I'm saying? And so, in a sense, they're making a Jesus that's convenient for them. Mm-hmm. There's really no difference between the old, we kind of mock people, you know, who used to make idols, you know, in the Old Testament, and make them out of wood, or you're like, how could they have been so dumb? They'd make idols with their own hands and then worship it. You read that and you're like, are you kidding? But many of us and many people are making idols in our own mind, mm-hmm, and they're worshiping it. Yeah.
I think a lot of people are like that because we're all like that. We want it to be our way. I mean, I think if we're honest with ourselves, we'd like to have a Jesus that suited us.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, but you know, and then they turn on the TV
and
they see, you know, Christianity represented in ways that turn me off personally. You know, I think we need to understand that people are being deceived because of the culture that we live in and the evil that is around us, and be sympathetic to that deception, not judgmental.
Well, I think we have to be, in a sense, sympathetic, and our hearts should break. But I also think it needs to break enough for us to speak and to say. Yes,
well, out of compassion.
Mm-hmm. Well, that video, he was actually not self-deceived. It was his thoughts versus what he was saying. Mm-hmm. So what the truth is for him is that he, you know, did the whole grew up in church thing, and he's afraid for people to know, mm-hmm, that what he's saying is not true.
It's
so if he would just tell people, I don't believe you're Jesus, he hasn't done anything for me, he could maybe get help. But he's lying to everybody and telling them, don't worry about me. And that's the worst place for a person to be.
Yeah.
When they think they have the truth and they don't, and they're lying to everybody, everything's great, like, what can you do for them? They're already saved, according to them.
Yeah. Just warn them, Carl.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Truth is not important anymore.
Right.
It's not important to the other people, and it's not important to our... We can lie to ourselves just as easy as we lie to others.
That's why we need to say, Lord, search our hearts.
Right.
Examine it, Lord. See if there's a wicked way within me, the psalm says. Because sometimes we can be, our hearts can be deceitfully wicked, right?
Right.
Ask the Lord, examine my heart.
Yeah. I think there's an epidemic in our country that says, in our church too, it says if we just add enough good to the scale, at the end of eternity, we're going to go to heaven. And it's so... not true.
Absolutely.
And I think that it's easy, even for a believer, and I've done it too, to get sucked into the, well, if I just share my good, if I just let my good parts come out and sort of hide the bad stuff, then people will think I'm better, and you know, puts me in a better light. And right. I know the truth. I know that's not at all in accordance with God's word, but many people don't. And you know, that guy, like Rebecca was saying, just he wasn't saved. He didn't know the truth. He didn't know what brings eternal life. And if he did, then he would his thoughts would more line up with you know the truth.
I remember Jesus calling the actors. That's what hypocrite means, actor. Mm-hmm. He called them these new hypocrites. You say one thing and you do another, and that's what they were, actors. And that's what we see so much of. I hate it. Go ahead.
Thanks. Patrick's touching on something I might call the Facebook syndrome. That basically everything on Facebook is wonderful. You're showing the best of your best, the best times you've had, and it appears that everything is going fine. Everything is going great. And it really can give a false impression, and it allows you to keep a fake mask on what really might be happening.
Agreed.
And, you know, it goes back to what's already been said, that we need to be honest with ourselves and honest with those around us. Not that we need to be posting horrible things as well, but still the thing is that you know, we need to be real.
Amen. You know, there's a Galatians 5:19-21 says this: when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Remember, these teachers are going to say, "Hey, it's okay to be immoral. Whatever, it's all right. God's grace, you know." Listen, this is what God's word says. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, God says. I'm saying this to me. You can read it for you. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Amen. But I don't like that part of the Bible. I just want the blessings. Well, they're both in there. You have to take both.
Package deal.
It's a package deal. You know, I don't think people are seeing that. What they're seeing is a lot of Ryans. And what they need to be seeing is a lot of folks like some of you here who are relying on the power of God, who are seeing, choosing by faith to allow the power of the cross to go through you. The power of the cross is incredible. Now, it might be a lifetime where God is working stuff out at you, so nobody's trying to attack you here, but God should be, if you've had an experience with a supernatural God, if you've given your heart and life, and God's Holy Spirit has come and dwelled in you, the power of that gospel is that sin no longer has ultimate hold over you. And so you might not be sinless, but you will sin less. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
People need to see that more folks are standing on the gospel, the power of the cross. There is power there. There is power to be free from that sin. Okay? It's not a catchy little rah, rah, rah thing, but you don't see enough of it because not enough people are walking in it. Yeah. Are you? The power of the cross, 1 Corinthians 1:17. Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, and not with words of eloquent wisdom, lest the cross be emptied, cross of Christ be emptied of his power. 1 Corinthians 1:17. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. I can live this life as a Christian, not on my own. If I did it on my own, I'd fail continually. But as I trust in the Lord, as I rely on him, as I die to self, take my cross and follow him, the power of God flows through me, and he'll flow through you too, as you trust him. Yes?
I think that we're so afraid of being hurt by others that we don't want to make ourselves vulnerable. And that's where we put up that front, and we're not honest. And others can't pray for us if we're not honest. Others can have misconceived notions about you. Well, they don't know what I'm going through. All of us have been through so much that you can't even imagine. And just hurts. And you know what? I think that if we would be vulnerable, yeah, sometimes we might get hurt. But that is the power of the cross, because he will get us through that hurt too. And so we do need to be more open and vulnerable, because that's glorifying God as well. I mean, we can really touch someone's life or help them through something. But if we just keep it in and we put up this front, then we're not doing his work.
First thing we need to be honest with is God.
I think it's full honesty. I mean, I myself have done this. I confess, who knows? You know, I think a lot of us, we confess just enough to make ourselves feel good about ourselves and feel like, okay, well, maybe I'm a little better off with God now, you know, confessing part of this, you know? But the sin is still rooted in there. Until you confess all of it and really uproot the whole sin, you're not going to have that, you know, true freedom. You just patch it up little by little each time.
You know, the real gospel here, this is what we get in a lot of places, because the gospel light, great taste, best filling. You don't need tradition. That's what we get in a lot of churches, right?
Yeah.
Listen, here's the gospel in a nutshell. Gospel just means the good news. But it's not just any good news. It's good news that demands a response from you, from me. Okay? It's not just fire insurance. That's not the gospel. It's not, I accept Jesus as my Savior and live however I want. That is not a victorious life. That is not salvation. It's a message from God saying, good news, here's how you can be saved from my judgment. Okay, that's the gospel. It can basically be condensed to four questions, okay? Number one, who made us and whom are we accountable to? That's the good news of Jesus Christ. Who made us and who are we accountable to? Number two, what is our problem? It's my problem. Number three, what is God's solution to our problem? And number four, God bless you. Number four, how can I be included in his solution? And here are the biblical answers in a nutshell. Who made us and who are we accountable to? We're accountable to God. What is our problem? Our problem is sin. I've sinned against him, you've sinned against him. What is God's solution to the problem? God's solution is salvation offered through Jesus Christ. I did this once before, and I didn't put that offered. You can't really see it in there. I had to throw it in there. But it's offered. Because as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. And lastly, how can I be included in his solution? We're included by faith and repentance. Yes.
It's kind of strange is false prophets only somehow teach the one and four. The two and three wouldn't be what people's itching ears want to hear.
That's a really good word.
Yeah.
That's right. And here's a visual of that. I mean, there's a holy God, there's a sinful man. We can't, sin's chasm is right there. We need Jesus Christ to bridge the gap. And so here's the last thing. To summarize these 4 points like this. God, we're accountable to him. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You don't believe that? Then what does it matter?
Right.
But if God made us, then we're accountable to him. When it describes God's character in Exodus 34:6-7, I think I might even have this. I think I might even read it. Give me one second, if you don't mind. I'd like to read this. Exodus 34:6-7 says, The Lord is compassionate. Here's his character. And gracious God. He's slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love for thousands, and forgetting wickedness, rebellion, and sin. That's what everybody remembers. They don't remember the next line. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. There is a judgment day. Okay? That's what everybody forgets. Yet he does not leave the guilty. He is loving. He is all these things. But he is a just God. And so, the next thing is, the problem is us. We sin. We rebel against God. You can read about it in Genesis 3, but you know Romans 3:10? None of us is righteous. Not even one of us. All of us has fallen short of the glory of God. Every single one of us. You personally have rebelled against God by your disobedience.
Do you think he still punishes the third and fourth generation?
Yes.
You know what? I think the effects of sin
can
go out through the third and fourth generation. Okay. Do I believe that everybody's under a curse for all those generations? No, but I think the effects of sin, like, for example, if, you know, a father abuses a kid or something like that, it's going to be a little bit more difficult. That person's going to be more likely to use. But you can stop it. If you're in Christ, the Bible says you are a new creation. The old is gone, and the new is always come. So you can break the cycle with the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Good question, though.
Good question.
So then, the solution is Jesus Christ. He's the solution to the problem. You know, Mark 1:15. Go there real quick so I don't forget what it says. Don't cry, there's good news. There's good news. Jesus has good news. Although he is a just God. You know what, really quickly, back to number two just for 1 second. I'm sorry. You know, when we've all sinned against him, if you're here today and you don't understand that, Exodus 20 is the Ten Commandments. If you just think of yourself and line yourself up with the Ten Commandments, have you ever lied? Okay, well, yes. What does that make you? A liar. Have you ever stole anything, even so small? Everybody? Yes, that makes you a thief. Have you ever lusted after anybody? Another, especially the adults, have you ever? Jesus said you lusted against anyone in your heart, you've committed adultery with them in your heart. Have you ever blasphemed the name of God? Have you ever said God's name in vain? Jesus or GD, have you ever said that? You're taking the King of Kings who gave you life and breath and your tongue and used it as a cuss word to express your disgust. It says he will not hold guiltless those who misuse his name. So right now, you're a lying, thieving, lusting, adulterer, blasphemer at heart, and you're going to face judgment on judgment day because he is a holy God and you can't accept that sin. You have no recourse on your own. All your good works, if you go back to that little picture, all your recourse is going to get you to maybe the T. If you're the most holy person, you're going to jump and you're going to go into the pit. But he's provided that solution, and that's Jesus Christ, God's solution. Mark chapter 1:15. Jesus said this. He says, the time has come, he said. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news, the gospel. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Romans 5:8 says, while you were still yet a sinner, he died for you. He's taken all your sins upon the cross. He's lived the perfect life in your place to give you the grace. So in your face. Sorry. And here's our response. And we need to turn to Jesus in faith and turn away from sin. As I turn towards Jesus and turn towards the cross, I'm turning away from sin. That's what's going to happen. I turn to Jesus and I'm turning away from that sin. Okay, we haven't gotten into the next group. Okay, let's go. Jude. These next, I mean, three verses really quickly. Back to Jude. These godless men who have changed the grace of our God into a license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ our Lord. Verse 5 through 7. Would somebody read that for me back in Jude 5 through 7? Yeah, go for it. These are examples of folks who've had a lot of privilege, like us. Okay? Like many of us. There's three examples. God's given you three examples of folks like us who have had extreme privilege, yet faced judgment because they either became or they followed the ways of folks like in verse 4. Okay? 5 through 7.
So you already know all this. I want to remind you that the Lord delivered his people out of Egypt, but later destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels who did not keep their positions of authority, but abandoned their own home, these he hath kept in darkness, bound with everlasting chains for judgment on the great day. In a similar way, Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding towns gave themselves up to sexual immorality and perversion. They serve as an example of those who suffer the punishment of eternal fire.
Okay. So here are three examples. And now Jude doesn't give us much description here, so he's expecting us to know, his readers to know what's going on. So that's a good question for you. Do you know these stories from the Old Testament? If not, that should be a little indicator that I need to be in the Bible more. It says, here's the first one. It says, though you already know this, I want to remind you. Okay, and again, I just put up the scripture This is in 2 Peter 1:12, because repetition is a mother of learning. Peter was saying, I'll always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have. I'm going to keep reminding you. So that's what he's doing here. I'm reminding you that the Lord delivered the people out of Egypt, but later destroyed those who did not believe, verse 5. You guys remember the story in Numbers chapter 13 and 14? You remember that? God had done amazing things to free them from Egypt. Picture the world, right? They had seen things that most of us will never get to see. The parting of the Red Sea. They saw the firstborn male child of anyone who didn't have the blood of the lamb on the lentils and doorposts of their house, right? Killed. They saw plagues where the rivers turned to blood. They saw stuff that, I mean, most of us can't even, I mean, imagine. I mean, that's cool stuff. What a privilege. And yet, when they were at the Red Sea, Moses, did you come out here to kill us all? The Pharaoh's going to come and kill us. Why did you bring us out? And then in Numbers, as they're going into the promised land, right? Do you remember what happened? That's what they were doing out here. Wham, wham, wham.
Whining.
They were whining and crying.
Babies.
You might, if you can read it for yourself, Numbers 13 and 14 later, they sent 12 spies in. You remember?
Yes.
God said, hey, Moses, I want you to go in, take the land. It's all yours. Overflowing with milk and honey. This is the promised land. I want you to go in. Just a minute. I want you to go in and take it. It's yours. This is what I delivered you from. Look what I did. Look what I took you to. Praise God. So Moses sent the spies in. Sure enough, they came back. It was just like he said. Land flowing with milk and honey. They brought back grapes and pomegranates. Unbelievably fertile ground. It was amazing. But then 10 of them said, wait a minute. It's too hard. I know God told us to do it, but you don't understand. You've never said that. God, I know you're telling me to do something, but you don't understand the situation, right? You've never said that.
Oh, yeah. It's hard.
Anyway, this is what they were saying, the 10 spies. Oh, God, it is this way. I know you're telling us, but you don't understand. The people, they're like giants in the land. And they've got fortified cities. And then they list the whole reasons why we couldn't do it. I'm sure you've never done that either. Just looking at the circumstances, the logic of why I can't obey the God, right? Anyway, two of them, amazing, Joshua and Caleb, right? They looked and said, yeah, all that's true. But God is telling us to go in. He's given us. Let's go in and take the land. Let's trust in Him. And you remember what the people did? They were going to rebel. Yes.
They're actually going to. And because of that, only Joshua and Caleb were allowed to go in the promised land. They had to wait 40 years to go back there.
That's exactly right. Yeah, the people started rebelling, so much so that that's what they started yelling. You bring us out here to kill us, Moses? We had it better off in Egypt when we were slaves. Now we should have died in the desert. Now they're going to kill our families if we obey God. They're going to take all of our kids. We're not, and so much so they grumbled against God, grumbled against Moses. They were going to kill him. In fact, let's start. They gathered up leaders and they were going to go back to Egypt because it was too hard.
Yeah.
Yikes, bolas. So God said, "Let me tell you what, guys. Since you're rebelling, you're actually going to kill the people I've appointed to lead you in. I'll tell you what. You're so afraid of your kids not going to make it, and you're not willing to do what's right. Here's what I'm going to do. Your kids are going to go into the land, and you're not." Anyone over the age of 20, you're going to be wiped out. You're not going to make it. And for every day they spent spying in the desert, the 40 days, you're going to spend 40 years in the desert and you're all going to die out. The only people that went in, the people who trusted in the Lord. That's some serious thing. And then it says in the next part, yes, Pat.
I'm about to say, first thing is, why would they go back to Egypt? Wouldn't the Pharaoh just like want to just like slaughter them all for?
He'd probably make them slaves again, you know. And that's what the enemy wants you to do. You think you had it so much better in your sinful life? Because you remember the onions, you remember the leeks, you remember the pleasure parts, but you forget the beatings and the slavery you were under. You forget that part.
Convenient.
Don't we do that?
Yep. And
Adams call it euphoric.
Yes.
So So Caleb and Joshua were 20 years old?
I don't remember how old, but anyone, no, it didn't matter because they trusted the Lord.
Oh, okay. I was.
Yeah, they trusted the Lord. Verse, and then just like them, and so God destroyed those people, man. And verse 6, and the angels who did not keep their positions of authority, but abandoned their own home, these he has kept in darkness, bound with everlasting chains of judgment for the great day. Boy, thanks for giving us a lot of information on this one, dude. There's a lot of, people think a lot of different things, but anyway, for those of you who don't know, you know, the angels rebelled against the Lord in heaven, right? You guys know that?
Yeah, the angels.
Led by Lucifer, which means light bringer, bringer of light. Yes, isn't that weird?
Yep.
And that's why his servants masquerade as angels of light, Corinthians says.
Yep.
And so, back in Isaiah chapter 14, it says this, if I put it on here, good. Five times Satan declared that he will, his will in rebellion. He says, how thou art fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weakest the nations. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation, the size of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High God. Do you notice the... opposite. You know what the Satanic Bible says?
Okay.
Do what thou wilt is the whole of the law.
Yep.
Make it all about yourself. No, deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow it. Make it about yourself. That's what Satan wants to do. So, you rebelled. Luke 10:18 says, I saw Satan fall from heaven. You know? Revelation 12, you can read that for your homework tonight. Basically, 3 to 10. Just talks about how a bunch of the angels went with them. And some of these angels, it says some of those angels are kept in darkness, bound with everlasting chains for judgment. I think that refers to Genesis 6, where there's a strange little story about the sons of God sleeping with the daughters of men.
Yep.
And so I think those ones that did that thing are kept in darkness, bound with everlasting chains. I like it how Jesus says, you, believer, are kept by Jesus. They're kept in darkness. Have you ever been in someplace really dark?
Yep.
No, I mean really dark.
Yep.
Morning. Morning. You're in a hotel.
I'm sorry, tornado. We were in a hotel.
Are you in a hotel?
Yeah. No lights.
Dark.
So pitch black.
Pitch black.
The whole thing.
Yeah.
Well, it is dark. Yeah. We went to, I remember as a kid, I think my dad took me to Mammoth Cave.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Is that in Georgia or something?
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I went to Mammoth Cave somewhere in the South. And I remember they take you down like deep, deep, deep into the cave. And I mean, really dark. And then when they're right in the middle, what they do is they turn off the lights. I have never seen such darkness in my life. I still remember, all you see are those little sparkly things. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they're not even lights, you just see them in your head or something. I was doing this right in front of my face. I could not see anything. And they are bound in that darkness. And it says they're bound, they're kept in darkness, bound with everlasting chains. Their freedom to do whatever they wanted actually was what bound them in chains. And it's the same thing with you. You think your freedom, you think the freedom you have to sin, the freedom you have to do what you want is going to be that great of a deal? I'm going to say, hell no. Because that's where it's going to let you go. It's going to be bind you up, just like these little angels. If these angels can't get free of that sinful freedom, how are you going to get free of that sinful freedom? Apart from Jesus Christ, you're not. You're kept, you're bound by those chains of sin unless Jesus sets you free. But anyway, here are these angels, man. They're with God. And yet still, they left their exalted position. They had tremendous privilege. These folks in Israel had tremendous privilege seeing God's miracles. You think that would do the trick? It doesn't. And then lastly, this last bit, Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding towns gave themselves up to sexual immorality. And that's why I think that it was based off that Genesis 6, those angels, because it says, in a similar way, verse 7 says, just like the angels, in a similar way, Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding towns gave themselves up to sexual immorality and perversion. They serve as an example of those who suffer the punishment of eternal fire. That's what's going to happen. Folks, follow these folks. Follow these ways. And Sodom and Gomorrah, you can read about that yourselves in Genesis 19. It describes the destruction. It says the Lord rained down sulfur. Kind of an interesting thing. There's actually, if you go down there right now, it's laid waste. There's actually sulfur balls. That you can actually, I was going to show a video, but it's too late. It's really cool. I might show you next week. From there, you actually, it's the only place there's 90% concentration of these sulfur balls. And if they get lit on fire, they just look like rocks. They actually melt into liquid sulfur and burn. There's a rift that goes from there all the way through down to Africa. Whatever happened there was a huge thing. There's a bitumen and petroleum along with those sulfur deposits. And the concentration there is like 90% of these of sulfur. It's the only place in the world that concentration is so high, liquid sulfur. And when they discovered these towns recently, all the towns had been burned from the top down. And it's in massive ash, inches of ash, and they're burned. All the roofs are burned downward. I just find that interesting.
Yeah.
That's just God coming through again. Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
Anyway, the bottom line is that this is the result. They're going to be punished with eternal fire. But that's not what God has for you. That's why he told you in the beginning, remember, you're called. Remember, you're kept by Jesus Christ. Remember, you're loved. Walk with him. Don't turn to the right or to the left. Don't listen to the people who are trying to tell you what your itching ears want to hear. Don't listen to them. You stick with the Word of God. You stick with the heart of God. You stick with the Spirit of God. You walk with him, and you can't go wrong. You help protect your brother and sister right now. You see those folks come in here. You talk with them. You help protect the sheep. Let's take a minute and let's pray. And let's ask God to do work. Father, I just pray right now, Lord, if anyone is here that's believing a false, just believing a false gospel, Lord, that it's just fire insurance policy, Lord, that you would just speak to them clearly that putting their faith and trust in you, Lord God, is going to result in freedom and a life lived for you, Lord. Not in a life that's lived for themselves. Lord, I pray for salvation for anyone here who does not know you, Lord God. I pray for more transparency, Lord, that you would not allow them to be deceived, Lord God, if they're just like that Ryan guy, saying that, hey, everything's okay. Yeah, I guess I got saved, sure. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that no one in here would be led astray by false teachers, by false teachings, Lord, people bringing folks after themselves, Lord. Lord, I pray for their protection, Lord God, regardless if they're here for one day or if they're here for 10 years, Lord God, that you protect them from that deception. I pray that you stir such a love and a fire in their heart for you that will burn everything else away, Lord. And I pray for a blessing upon their hearts, Lord God. I thank you for them, and I pray that you would encourage them today. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Don't forget, men's Bible study Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday is Share Jesus About Fear.